This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, we are off and running on a Maryland Monday in the nation's capital and beyond. Good afternoon, everyone. Back from a four-day weekend siesta in which Maryland won a heart stopper last night. Could have easily been eliminated. And there was a lot of chalk, and I mean a lot of chalk, across the board. And this is just a tease. You guys absolutely suck. This was confirmed. You guys absolutely suck.
You got some real hoop watchers on this show, Chris.
Oh, we say that in jest. Because, as we know, the NCAA tournament, some call the Stanley Cup playoffs random. There is no random when it comes to the Stanley Cup playoffs compared to the NCAA tournament. The NCAA tournament is completely random. It's just the opposite of the Stanley Cup playoffs, which make all the sense in the world. Okay? You know, we actually, like, you know, have seeds that matter and that are earned and not subjective and all that stuff. The bottom line is, wow, you guys stink. We'll give you the details on how bad you stink and why coming up in the radio showgram on this rainy Monday afternoon in Washington, D.C. We are awaiting word whether or not the Nationals and the Orioles will play in a little exhibition tune-up in the ballpark here in the Navy Yard. Right now in a rain delay. So we are with you on this Monday afternoon, and we want you to be with us at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. And really, we start with this. There's no other place to start. There's no other rhyme or reason why you would start anywhere else other than, again, a just massive, massive, holy crap type of win for the Maryland Terrapins, who we all thought were in trouble far beyond the go-ahead three-pointer with Derek Queen lunging out, unable to alter it, unable to block it, off a switch, wide open enough. And then, with Maryland down, they advance the ball past half court, call a timeout with three and change left, and then we got a Maryland miracle.
Terps are down by one, and Gillespie looks to inbound. There it goes to Queen. Queen will drive in against Morton. Queen with a shot off the glass. Got it! And the Terrapins have won it at the buzzer on a shot. Oh, my goodness. By Derrick Queen, 72-71, and we're heading to San Francisco. It's about time. Wow. How about that? Man, oh, man, oh, man.
Johnny Holiday and Chris Nocke last night on the call right here on the Team 980, the Odyssey app, your home for Maryland Terrapins basketball. By the way, of course, not only did we bring you game one and game two, Grand Canyon on Friday afternoon, game two last night, Mad Max was behind the wheels. He came up early from, I guess he went from Dunedin instead of going back with the Blue Jays to Toronto. He just said, no, I got to run the Maryland game, and then I've got to run the show on Monday afternoon, so you guys are just going to have to wait for me. So Mad Max was behind the wheels of last night's win and of Friday night afternoon's win, and I presume, the Sweet 16 game on Thursday night right here on the Team 980 against the Florida Gators, the number one seed in the West. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about it all. We'll talk about all the logistics or whatever. But you just heard the call from Johnny and Chris. Derek Queen, listen, I know there's a lot of conjecture about whether he traveled or not. I believe he took an extra step. I know a lot of that's not called. I know that the officiating was not great during the game by any means, and it seemed certainly to unnerve at times Derek Queen. He was not happy. For him to hit that shot, kind of the best way I could describe it, and I'm sure you've probably seen it by now, if you're listening to the show, there's a good chance that you've seen it by now, whether live or on Twitter or whatever. It's kind of a fading runner high off the glass to his left for a right-handed shot for a big man. He gets the ball in off the inbounds. One option, he said, give me the bleeping ball. And then he said, kiss off the glass. I'm from Baltimore, damn it. And go scratch. And you just heard the call there of Johnny and Chris telling you that Maryland getting to the Sweet 16 for the first time in 9 years. And make no mistake about it. When you're in the Sweet 16 every year, Gonzaga, what have you, okay, Gonzaga had been, I think, in the Sweet 16 8 years in a row. It's not that big of a deal to get to the Sweet 16, right? That's the standard. There was once, under Gary, a standard that Maryland, it was just accepted that Maryland got to the final, to the Sweet 16. The question was, and the expectation was every year, could they get to the Final Four? Could they win it? And they obviously only won it once. But could they get there? Not that the Sweet 16 was some barrier. The best way I could kind of, sort of, it's not exactly parallel, what have you, draw the comparison in people's mind is, remember when Evgeny Kuznetsov buries the breakaway in game six of the 2018 second round in Pittsburgh to deliver the Caps into the conference finals and pass the Penguins and pass the conference finals, I'm sorry, past the second round for the first time in the Rock the Red era. Again, not exactly the same. So I'm not a dummy. I wasn't born yesterday. I'm just trying to kind of illustrate in your mind what it means for Maryland to be back in the Sweet 16 when normally this guy, meaning me, I would be like, Sweet 16's not that great. I mean, it's two wins, right? And let's all remember, it's just that. It's two wins. It means, based on everything that happened in the regular season, in which they were a top 15 program, and certainly at times they were lower than that, and certainly at times they were higher than that. They were a top 15 program. They finished 10th, as we discussed a week ago on this show, and got screwed by being sent to Seattle, or as I affectionately called it, Siberia. Right? At times, they were higher, of course, than a top 15 team. But they were in that top 15. Or, let's just put it this way, the top 16. And now, what happened during the regular season and what has happened through two rounds of the NCAA tournament is now solidified, and there is no question, no doubt, that they are one of the top 15, or in this case, 16 teams in the country. A country that has 300 and, what is it, 60 NCAA Division 1A teams? They are one of the top, let's just call it the top 15, but again, because it's called, in the tournament, it's referred to as the Sweet 16. That's what it is. And the road only gets harder from here. Number one Florida in San Francisco, Thursday night, right here on the Team 980. Now, we talked about this a week ago and leading up to their first game against Grand Canyon. That if they were lucky enough to survive, they were either going to have to go all the way back to College Park late and overnight Sunday night, and then all the way back to San Francisco Wednesday morning for practice, press conferences, game on Thursday night or Thursday afternoon. But from what I've heard, I don't have 100% confirmation on this. They're just going to San Francisco. Unfortunately, they didn't tell me about their travel plans, but that's what I heard. And that's what obviously makes the most sense. But when you consider what happened and what transpired after we last left you on Wednesday afternoon, yes, the two wins, but what Kevin Willard did in the press conference on Thursday afternoon in Seattle, which a lot of people are calling a power play, an orchestrated power play, to throw his AD and essentially the president and essentially the program under the bus in terms of NIL and in terms of budget, saying we need more. We need better. We need to have this, and we don't have this. We have that. However you process that, however you read that, whatever you think of that, I don't know if it had an impact on either one of these two wins, but let me tell you something, and you saw it right after the game in a joyous celebration. This team plays its ass off for Kevin Willard. There is no doubt about that. There is zero doubt about that. And while Derrick Queen hit the shot, it was very easy, I think, it would have been very easy to say, no, you know what? We're not going to just design a play at the top of the perimeter off the inbounds for Derrick Queen. We're going to get it to Celton Miguel, who had a run of three-pointers, and he finished 3 of 5 from three-point. It's not like he hit 10 of them, but we're going to get it to him. And we're going to take a 20-foot jump shot contested. Or we're going to get it to Rodney Rice, who he himself hit 3 three-pointers. Or we're going to take a three because we shot it fairly well, almost 42%. Even though we don't need a three, we're going to take one anyway because that's what we're going to draw up. It would have been easy to do that. And I've seen that. You might scoff at that and say, ah, what are you talking about? They only needed a two. Why would they go for three? How many times have we seen that in the NBA and in college hoops? And instead, Kevin Willard and his staff, and maybe it was Derrick Queen saying, give me the MFing ball. Maybe it was that, or maybe it was just, I don't know, common sense. A guy who had been frustrated with the officiating for much of the game to drive to the basket on his offside and bank one in with heavy, heavy, heavy pressure on him, not only from the moment, even though he's a freshman, and it would have been understandable if he misses it and it rims out, but heavy defensive pressure, and whether he traveled or not, and I'll let you guys decide that. I think he did. I think he took an extra step. I think most people did. I've read a lot about it. I know Coach Sheehan thought he didn't. Whatever. The bottom line is, That shot, even though it doesn't win a championship, even though it doesn't get them to the Final Four, that shot, because of the magnitude of when it happened, how it happened, realizing it's almost surely his only year in College Park, and knowing that his coach had thrown the AD and essentially the program literally and figuratively under the bus, however you process that, knowing all that, knowing that they were taking on a 12 seed, a very game 12 seed, but a 12 seed whose coach couldn't wait to leave, so much so that he's already been unofficially hired at Minnesota today, in Nico Medved. It was a very, very, very game Colorado State team. They got off to an early start. They had a 7-point lead at the half. They were hitting their shots. Maryland wasn't. Then Maryland wakes up, gets the three ball going, as we mentioned, between Rice and Miguel. A little bit from Gillespie, although he's still desperate. Gillespie's the key on Thursday night, but that's a whole nother thing. If they're going to beat Florida, I think Gillespie needs to, like, I don't know, needs to be a lot better than he's been down the stretch here shooting the ball on a consistent basis, but whatever. And Juju Reese gets a huge offensive rebound, gets fouled, and makes two enormous free throws to set up Colorado State hitting the wing three to give them the lead. And then the inbounds and the point. And how about this? I always kill this, right? Too many timeouts in college hoops. Too many times in the NBA. Maryland has enough poise and management of the clock in the game to, yes, give up the lead with 6 seconds left, but also Maryland still has one timeout to inbound it and to be able to draw up and design a play off the inbound. Now they got to get it in. They have no choice but to inbound it because you don't have any other timeouts left. But the fact that they had one when a lot of coaches burned through them all is huge, because now you don't have to necessarily rush a heave. And now you're not so frantic. It gives you a chance to set it up. Not a guarantee, but a chance to set it up. And that's exactly what they did. That's exactly what they did. So, Maryland, I mean, listen, we started off the weekend Friday morning after Willard's press conference on Thursday, Damon Evans leaving, saying, I said, man, what a mess. And I believe that. It turned out to not ultimately affect them on the court, but you can't argue that that wasn't a messy situation right before a hugely critical, for so many reasons, opening round game and opening weekend set. And they came out 2-0. And they're advancing to the Sweet 16. So much to chew on. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Terps fans, we are open for business. We are off and running. We'll get to Anthony in Georgetown in the leadoff spot in just a couple of moments. We open it up to you. 301-230-0980. If you're not a Terps fan, and I don't identify me as a Terps fan, I root for them to do well. I hope they do well. I'm happy that they won, but I don't identify as a Terps fan. I didn't go there. I don't bleed Maryland, you know, colors or anything like that, but I'm happy as hell that they won. I was rooting like heck for them. I did not expect them to ultimately pull out that game, but they did. And they're off to the Sweet 16, and nobody should think that they can't beat Florida if they do a lot of things better. If they do some things different, which we'll tackle over the next 3 hours with you at 301-230-0980. Just getting off and going on a Monday, a Maryland Monday, in the rain, in the DMV, on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Call. I asked everybody. I said, who wants the ball? And he said, give me the MF ball. And I said, all right, you're getting it. And I said, don't mess around. Go after it and do it. And I give him a lot of credit, man. The big dog came up and threw.
Oh, that gets you in a better mood. A Maryland Terrapins advance to the Sweet 16 or a little Jackson 5 on still a Motown Monday. We mix in the Motown. And we also celebrate Maryland's trip to the Sweet 16 by anointing the show. And today, a Maryland Monday. Want to be careful. Not everybody is a Maryland alum. Not everybody's a Maryland fan. But, I mean, obviously, it's a huge story. It's a huge shot. It's a huge validation of what Kevin Willard basically had to say on Thursday. And even in between that. Now, Mad Max played the sound from TBS. I think it was TBS. Was it TBS or TNT?
Yeah.
TBS. Going into the break of Kevin Willard being interviewed right after the game and him saying, you know, who wants the shot? And Derek Queen said, give me the MFing ball. And then he said, I'm from Baltimore. Now, we're not a Baltimore-based show, but we're not that far. I know a lot of people, for whatever reason, don't like Baltimore. I have no problem with Baltimore. Right? The school is in College Park. There shouldn't be like this, oh, we can't talk about that kind of feeling. The region benefits. The DMV benefits. College basketball benefits. Not only locally, but nationally. You don't want one of the best freshmen, arguably the 1A freshman of the year, to play two games in the NCAA tournament. You want him to play four or five or six, better yet. Right? For those of us that are longing for so much more from college hoops and often walk away disappointed, Derek Queen is what you're longing for. What you're begging for. The Crab Five. Maybe not what you're longing for, but a whole lot of fun. And when they're on, they're on. Now, the problem is they're not always on. First half yesterday. They're not always on. We'll see how they deal with Florida, but man alive, what a heart-stopping win. And it would have been understandable if Derek Queen missed that shot. That was a really tough shot. And whether he... boy, am I glad that they did not call a travel on that. Could you imagine what the outrage would have been? I mean, Maryland fans were already upset about the officiating, and Derek Queen, again, himself, was upset about the officiating at times in the game. I can't hear you, Max.
Kevin Sheehan would have set the board on fire from his house.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, yeah. Because he did not think it was a travel from what I heard him say on the way in. I had a couple of phone calls that I had to deal with. So the bottom line is this. Maryland fans would have gone bat-you-know-what crazy.
Bananas.
Even though almost everyone that I saw reaction in the moment afterwards and say the hour or so after the game and even after thought it was indeed a travel, including unnamed officials that I saw on social media. All right, let's quickly get to Anthony in Georgetown to get the phones going here, and then we will take the time out. Anthony in the leadoff spot. Good afternoon. How are you, Ant?
Chris, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, you got it.
First-time listener, first-time caller today.
Nice to have you aboard. I'll give you a little Ric Flair. Woo! Attaboy.
Thank you. I've been listening to, been a fan, rather, of Maryland basketball, regardless of what part of the world I reside in,
mm-hmm.
going back to the early 80s and the glory days of Lefty Driesell.
Sure.
So just three items. I'll be quick. Number one, good luck to the women's basketball team today. I believe they play at 5 o'clock against Alabama. Is that right?
Double check that on the time, but yes, I believe that is correct.
And then number two,
it is correct.
Following
it is
the Maryland regular season games, and of course the Big Ten semifinal last week. They've had some misfortune where they lost to Michigan State on a buzzer beater, I believe, a month ago,
yep.
if my memory's accurate,
yep.
Chris.
Yes.
And then they lost last week, or was it 2 weeks ago,
nope.
against Michigan
last week.
On a
yep.
buzzer beater. So when you're an athlete, or a coach for that matter, and you've been part of sports for decades, the law of averages, Chris, typically applies.
Mm-hmm.
And it did yesterday, because you're not going to have heartbreakers forever. And yesterday proved it. The misfortune of the Maryland men's basketball team is in the past, and now it's full steam ahead. And then item number three, I just think it was poor timing from Coach Kevin to bring up the fact that this athletic director, his name to me is not important, is going to depart. So what if he departs? The University of Maryland is going to continue to exist. The student athletes are going to continue to be an integral part of Maryland. The basketball teams aren't going to fold. Athletic directors, as the both of us know, they come and go. They're not that important. They really aren't.
Anthony, it's a good call. I appreciate you calling in. Please make it a regular thing. We appreciate you. I think you're right on a lot of that, if not all of it. And I'll answer more of that on the other side. I appreciate you for getting in. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Yes, indeed. The Maryland women play at 5 o'clock today, as Anthony mentioned, against Alabama in the 4-5 matchup. So away we go. Let's do a trending alert, and we got plenty of college hoops and college hoops news right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app as we come to you live from the DMV on a Maryland Monday, baby. Let's go.
Woo!
All right, for you football fans, Ben Standing's got a first-round mock draft in The Athletic that we want to get to. He was guest of Kevin Sheehan earlier today. Tell you what he had the Commanders doing at number 29 overall. I think most of you would be very understanding of what he chose. We'll discuss a little bit later on in the show. For now, 301-230-0980, Maryland Terrapins off to the Sweet 16. Again, what used to be the standard is now the new, is now the wow. Somewhat unforeseen. Not that people didn't think they would get to the Sweet 16 this year. Lots of people did. As a matter of fact, some people had them in the Final Four. Not this show's listeners. No, no, no. No. We'll tell you what we mean by that and how the proof sort of was in the pudding from what we said all last week. We're going to dissect that. But Maryland's win yesterday, obviously, again, huge for the program, huge for Kevin Willard, considering everything that is going on. Make no mistake about it. If they somehow get upset against Grand Canyon in the first round, maybe Kevin Willard's gone to Villanova. Or maybe he squeezes one of these jobs that just filled out. Right? I don't know. I don't know him well enough and don't know those programs well enough. There was no guarantee with a new athletic director coming in and essentially throwing the university and the program and its athletic budget under the bus. No guarantee that Kevin Willard was staying around. And maybe even if they lost yesterday, I don't know. But damned if it didn't cross my mind. And if you're being reasonable, I think it had to cross yours. Now, while I can't rule anything out, because Villanova still has a vacancy, I would say it's highly, highly, highly unlikely. But I can't completely rule it out. Right? But yesterday was about Derrick Queen's game winner. Julian Reese's offensive rebound and foul that he gets, and two made free throws with 22 seconds left. It was about improved three-point shooting from Rodney Rice and Celton Miguel in the second half. It was about overcoming what arguably was a bad first half. They didn't start off well in any way, shape, or form defensively. Towards the end of the first half, I thought their interior defense was real shaky. Colorado State was getting lots of inside looks, and not just your traditional back down big man to the basket looks. It was a lot of sharp depth passing into the paint. There was a time where they were dominating points in the paint. There was a time where they were dominating bench scoring. There was a time where they were hitting all of their shots. Or not all of their shots, but a lot of their shots. And yet Maryland found a way, with everything that kind of went wrong throughout, and there were plenty of things that didn't go right in the second half, even though the second half was much better than the first. Maryland found a way not to crumble. And if the standard is the standard, as Mike Tomlin and now others often say, the standard at Maryland has been lowered from a Final Four expectation every year to, hey, maybe we can get to the Sweet 16. Boy, it would be nice. That would be great. And then they did. So now, even with Derek Queen and Juju Reese leaving, I mean, we assume Derek Queen's leaving, the standard, now that you've made it back to the Sweet 16, all of a sudden next year becomes, at minimum, the Elite Eight, and realistically, the Final Four, even though Derek Queen is leaving. Again, we all think. And Juju Reese is obviously graduating. But the transfer portal allows you to pick up size and athleticism pretty quickly. All right, let's get to it. On the phones, Terps fans, where are you? 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. What does it mean for you? Lots to talk about. Lots of meat on this bone. It's not just a game-winning shot. It's not just a win. There's a lot of meat on this bone. And Anthony, by the way, in Georgetown brought up a good point before I get back to the calls. You know, about the athletic director. I mean, I do think it's a bigger deal than what many fans are going to say, including Anthony. You know, that it's no, because it's the leadership, it's the structure, it's the budget, it's the management. It's Kevin Willard's boss. What's amazing is Damon Evans took this job at SMU and 4 days earlier, he's offering Kevin Willard, right before the selection show, right before the NCAA tournament, an offer sheet. And he knows Kevin Willard is pissed at the program and the budget, over the New York City thing, over other things, over NIL money. He knows. Look around. John Calipari in Arkansas spent $10 million on their roster. I believe that was the number I saw. Look around. And yet, you have all this acrimony. A week ago, I think after the Big Ten tournament, or maybe it was at the Big Ten tournament, Kevin Willard, on the record, said, oh, me and Damon are in lockstep. No. That was not true. That was not reality. And now Damon Evans is gone. And the reason why it's a bigger deal is because we don't know who's going to replace him and how they feel about Kevin Willard, A, just as a person and as a coach, B, about what their vision is. And how much input is Kevin Willard going to have in that hire? How does the president of the university feel about Kevin Willard basically throwing them under a school bus? All these questions need to be answered. And anybody that's talking about this, as I've seen some blowback on this on Twitter, even to Jeff Ehrman, who does a great job covering Maryland sports, oh, you can't be talking about this. Shut up. Stop. The head coach brought this front and center. Front and center. And then the AD officially left. Of course you're talking about it. Of course you're talking about it. Let's get to our guy D-Dub here on the Team 980. D-Dub, how are you, pal?
Hey, how you doing there, Rooster?
What's up, D-Dub? Hope you had a good weekend,
pal. Hey, Rooster. Yes, sir, I had a good one, too. But what really had me scared with Maryland last night, man, them guys was getting a lot of offensive rebounds, man.
Mm-hmm.
Maryland got a rebound better, man.
Yeah.
And who they playing against Florida, they got some big boys, man.
It's a great point, and it was one of my things on the checklist of things that need to improve. To your point, 13-0 in terms of offensive rebounds. Now, I don't know. I'm sorry. 13-8. My bad. 13-8 in terms of offensive rebounds. I think it was like 12-1 at one point. In terms of offensive rebounds in favor of Colorado State. And clearly that was a problem combined with them shooting a lot better in the first half. Now, in the second half, Maryland's defense tightens up, and obviously they then do a better job. And without Juju Reese getting that offensive rebound, drawing the foul on the contact, and then knocking down the two free throws with, 21 and change left? I mean, obviously we're not even talking about a win here.
You're right. Hey, but Bruce, I want to tell you this. Now, I love Maryland. I've been watching them for years. I remember that they've been to the Final Four about 7 or 8 times and never made it. This time, I hope they do. You know, never made it out of there. But I want to tell you this.
Well, they did win the one championship.
Yes, but I'm gonna tell you this, Bruce. I'm gonna let you know who's gonna be at the end if they don't play each other: Duke and St. John's. They're not in the same bracket. They're going to meet each other.
St. John's lost already, D-Dub.
Yeah, D-Dub, I love you, but St. John's lost on Saturday to Arkansas.
Did they?
Yeah.
I was out of town. I didn't watch the game because I drive. Well,
that's okay. That's all right.
Watch this. I'm going to tell you something about Duke. Now, that boy Proctor, his father, his uncle, has a record at the 8th grade at Green Park High School. I got 3 championships there myself. That rascal got a record that hasn't been broke yet in elementary. That rascal scored 55 points in one game.
Mm.
Watch this. And then my other man, Earl Hawkins, got a record at Maryland University that has nobody broke yet at a championship game in high school. 45 rebounds.
Mm.
It's on the archives, and has nobody broken that yet. Neither one of the records.
If you can get 45 rebounds in a game, you're doing something right. D-Dub, thank you, pal.
Hey,
I appreciate it.
One more thing, real quick. Well, real quick.
Yes.
That boy Proctor,
he
has 7 3-pointers. That guy can shoot an eye out of the basketball. Mm-hmm. I'll holler at you later.
I appreciate you. That's D-Dub. I love D-Dub. But D-Dub just kind of set up something that we'll talk about in the 2 o'clock hour. About St. John's and the bracket, which we'll touch on in the 2 o'clock hour. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. The Terps are off to the Sweet 16. A San Francisco treat right here on the Team 980 in the Odyssey app. Mad Max, my guy JT the Vic is a weirdo.
Well, we knew that. But he's our weirdo.
He is our weirdo. Little Jackson 5 puts you in a good mood. Start tapping those feet, baby. Easy as. JT the Vic hanging around because the Nats are in a weather delay against the Orioles in the final spring tune-up. So on Masson, I'm watching, and Gio Gonzalez is the starting pitcher, and Bryce Harper is up at the dish for the Nationals. That's how,
Playing the hits.
It always surprises me. I don't know what they're doing over on the radio side with Charlie and Dave, but it always surprises me that they don't just do more, hey, let's talk about the Nationals. I mean, Masson's got nothing else. Like, it literally exists for baseball play-by-play, and they're going to lose the Nationals next year. Put Carpenter and Kevin Franzen on TV with Dan Colco and do a Nationals talk show, for God's sakes. Instead, we're airing a game that's 8 years old. That's just unbelievable.
Are you listening, Lerner family?
Anyway, JT the Vic, accosted me in the hallway, and we were talking about Monday Night Raw, which this week, again, is Monday Afternoon Raw, because they're in Glasgow, Scotland, at 4 o'clock Eastern time, live on Netflix, right? So, like, right when we get off the air.
So you're hightailing at home is what I'm hearing.
Well, I mean, I don't know about that. I usually can't hightail anywhere around here.
Well, especially with, A, the raid and the oncoming traffic.
Afternoon drive and so on and so forth. Now, the point, I guess we were discussing, like, last week they aired it live on Netflix at 3 o'clock. This week it's 4 o'clock, right? And I was telling JT, I said, the thing that I liked about last week was even though it was not live at 8 o'clock, which it normally is in the United States and Canada and whatnot, is I was able to watch a little bit of it on Monday night late, and they incorporated still the commercials into the Netflix feed. But by Tuesday morning, the commercials were gone.
Ooh.
So I was able to zip through a bunch of it without dealing with the commercials, which I know is important to them, but is not important to me.
And I'd argue it's the least important to you, the viewer.
Right. Now, obviously, we live in a business where, again, commercials are...
They pay our checks.
A rights fee, okay, for a network to broadcast us, right? So WWE gets a rights fee, and then they get, obviously, however they do the commercial production and commercial revenue from Netflix and WWE and however that gets split. My point being is, I was telling JT the Vic, I kind of liked it. Last Monday night, I had to sit through the commercials after I started watching it late. I think the Caps were playing or whatever it was. And, I was at a soccer game. And I started watching it late. And by Tuesday morning, the commercials were gone. And I was happy about that. And I've noticed that about Netflix since they went there in early January, that usually by Tuesday, the commercials are gone. So I kind of tend to wait. A, I'm busy. B, I tend to wait. And I'm telling JT this literally to his face. And he goes, you know, the great thing about Netflix and these early starts is by Monday night, they have the commercials all in there in the normal time slot. And then by Tuesday morning, they're all gone. And I looked at him and I said, literally, I just said that to your face. Which meant JT the Vic had me on auto tune out. He was not paying attention at all to anything the man just said. I know a lot of you would like to tune me out. But I don't expect that from my friend. Hey, he's coming over and giving me the middle finger. I don't expect that from my friend.
Oh, man.
He just literally flipped me the bird.
Yeah. I second it. I saw it. This did happen.
All right. We'll get back to Maryland in just a couple of moments. Jeff in Hagerstown, Sean in Connecticut. Hang on. I'm coming to you right away on the other side of 2 o'clock. I'm sorry. I got sidetracked. I had to tell that story on the T980 and the Odyssey app.